Our gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to Matthew. We'll be reading from the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I too may go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country another road." The Gospel of the Lord. I have always loved this gospel story of the wise men visiting Jesus. I remember when I was a young child in Sunday school, this one year we were in a pageant, and my cousins and I were the wise men in the play. At the end of our speaking part, we sang with gusto that hymn, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." We had body motions and movements to the song, and my favorite part was, "Oh, oh." I think the reason I love this story is the mystery within it. Who were these people? How many of them were there? You know, if you read the passage again, it doesn't say there were three. Where did they come from? What was the star that they were following? And most importantly, why were they seeking Jesus? Yes, we know that they came to worship the child-born king of the Jews. Yes, we know that they considered it so important that they followed his star from this faraway land that they came from. And yes, we know that they held this moment in such reverence that they brought treasures fit for a king. But why? Why seek Jesus at all? And yet, centuries later, wise people from all over the world still seek him. Well, I believe it's because his light continues to shine in the darkness. It beckons us searching for truth, or direction, or inner peace. Through him, we hear the voice of God and we see the image of God at work among us. We experience hope that is grounded in who God is and the promises that God has made. We're moved by his compassion that touches the untouchable, forgives the unforgivable, makes whole the broken, and lifts up those who have been beaten down by oppressive burdens. We find a heart of love that heals our troubled souls and reminds us that no matter what, we are God's beloved, wanted and welcomed. To seek Jesus is to find God. When I first came back to the church after walking away from it for several years, I was on a journey to know Jesus more. I knew him from the Sunday school lessons of my childhood. I knew him from the TV holiday specials, but it all felt very superficial. I knew more about Jesus than I knew him for myself. So I kept seeking him in prayer, in worship, in study. Like the wise men, I also came across a few Herods. These were people whose hostility to anything religious made Jesus seem, following, searching for Jesus seem foolish or weird. And through their fear or ignorance, they tried to kill Christ before I even found him. However, the Bible says, seek and you will find. And in searching for Jesus, I found a Savior. One who transformed my heart and renewed my mind. He became my strength when I was weak, and I knew that even if I didn't fit anywhere, I will always belong to him. I knew myself beloved, and through Christ, my preconceived thoughts were challenged and my priorities were changed. And in finding him, I found a whole new life. Maybe that is what the wise men foresaw in their quest to find the child-born king. Maybe they saw that this child would not be like other kings, whose motives would be the preservation of their own power and privilege. Maybe they understood that love would be the driving force for this child, this king, and for God was doing a new thing in the world. Maybe this is what moved them to bring their best, that most costly possessions that they had, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These treasures were gifts fit for a king whose kingdom is of brick and mortar, chariots and thrones. But what gift would be fit for a king who is king of all kings and sovereign over all of creation? What gift would be fit for a king whose kingdom resides not in buildings, but in hearts and in minds? What gift would be fit for a king who is Messiah and Christ, Savior? The most fitting gift, I believe, for this king would be the gift of ourselves. Our hands and our feet, our tongues and our ears, our talents and our passions, our heart and our minds. Our very lives are worth more than all the gold, frankincense, and myrrh in the world. Our very lives are the gifts fit for a king who gave his life that we might have new life and have it eternally. It is the most precious gift we have to offer, our very selves. There is a hymn that we sing in the church at times. The words are, take my life and let it be. Consecrated, Lord, to thee, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing. Always only for my King. Always only for my King. Take my love, my God, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee. Like the wise men who came seeking the child-born king, we who seek the king of our lives can offer the gift of ourselves so that in our living Christ is blessed and through our lives his light continues to shine. It can be scary, The notion of giving ourselves away competes with the notion that to give something is always to lose it. But I like the way Pastor Duane put it last week when he spoke about love. The more we love and give that love away, the more we receive. Our love doesn't diminish or run out. In fact, it grows and flourishes and overflows. To give the Lord the gift of our lives is to find new life. Life blessed with love that heals and restores. Life filled with purpose that serves and reaches out. Life touched and transformed by our Savior. Amen. Let us pray. O holy and eternal God, you have given us such a wonderful gift. This true gift of a Savior, the Christ child. What do we have to give but ourselves in return? And so, Lord God, we pray that you will receive us, that you will use us, that you will bless us, that we in turn might be a blessing unto you and unto this world that you love. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.